Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the man said, I'm working towards it. And so are you. Wonderful day. You're starting to smell autumn in the air. I can't believe it. I don't know why it keeps going so fast. Adaptogenic herbs. I want you to have an understanding. I want the autumn to be a time for you, as we approach winter, for you to get ready for the new year, only in autumn. What do I mean? I mean I want you to get your edge over the next 4 months by understanding how to use plant medicines that we call the adaptogens. And if you understand the full context of the word adaptogen, you'll understand how to benefit, without which you're just going to pop pills and not get the bullseye. Adaptogenic herbs. When I say an adaptogenic herb, I mean cordyceps. I mean reishi. I mean ginseng. I mean deer antler. I mean royal jelly. I mean soma. I mean ashwagandha, and so on and so forth. Adaptogenic herbs in the tradition of herbal medicine are herbs that, well, it's a very broad spectrum term we use today that can ensure us that the herb that we're ingesting may give us an antioxidant boost. It may protect the liver. It may improve your blood sugar metabolism. You may not crave alcohol or sugar. It'll increase your immunity, increased energy, stamina, improve your muscle tone, increase your strength. You can recover faster, improve your memory, less anxiety, better sleep, better mood, so on and so forth. All that culture that's so pro-America, pro-stay young forever, pro-live forever, longevity, sail on into your later years vibrantly, is under the dome of the term adaptogenic herb today. And these things do deliver, but you have to understand the context. And of course, the purpose of this show is to give you a clearer context. I started out using these on people, expecting certain levels of results that the manufacturers claimed they would experience, and I didn't quite see it measure up, which was curious because I knew I had very good sources, very good products, very, very reputable growers, manufacturers, so on and so forth, and I never really saw it measure up to the claim, nor did I ever see the adaptogenic herbs produce effectively the results that the legends talked about. And this is really what I want to harp on today, the legend of the adaptogenic herb, because that's where the magic is. We're going to study some of these herbs today. I hope you're on the website. That's straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, straighttalk2t's.cc, not .com. If you're driving, you can't. But if you're at home, I really hope you're on that site. Why? Well, we're going to study these herbs from a couple of perspectives, one of which are the hard scientific perspectives. And what you understand, of course, is that these herbs are studied by scientists in different facets of science, and then publications are made as to understanding whether or not you can make these claims, authenticate the claim of something like ginseng or soma or reishi or deer antler velvet, so on and so forth. And you're going to see some of these articles today. I put two of them on the site. Click to view the full article on cordyceps inhibits protein synthesis, and then the other article on adaptogenic herbs. I put these on, and they're going to talk about the science. At the same time, The science is only there to study these herbs because these herbs are in tradition. They are in a long tradition of herbalism, which dates back many, many thousands of years. So the combination of those two perspectives, the scientific one and the one in the legend of herbal lore, that combination is really what we're looking for here. Okay. First, when you purchase these herbs, let's get into a couple of general parameters about adaptogenic herbs and how they're supposed to function. Adaptogenic herbs are subject. In other words, they'll work or they won't work based upon certain parameters. I could say it like this. Adaptogenic herbs, contrary to the way you look at ginseng or the way you look at reishi or the way you look at soma or the way you look at, deer antler, contrary to the way you look at them, we have an issue as far as you have to show up to the herb, meaning you have to present yourself in a way where you can receive the herb. That's a big statement. That's not the way you would understand it. Herbalism, manufacturers, advertisements, so on and so forth. I put a number of them on the website. These are good companies. Some of them make excellent products. Certainly, Premier Research Labs makes an outstanding product in a number of ways. Ron Teagarden, Dragon Herbs, also puts out an outstanding product. These herbs really do support their claims. They work in that adaptogenic way. But, and this is my point, you have to show up for the herb. Now, that's different than the way the consumer thinks. The consumer thinks you just take the herb and you see if it works, as if the herb didn't work for me. So you take deer antler, or you take cordyceps, or you take reishi and you say, gee, I took it, I looked at the claims, and I didn't feel it. It didn't work for me. Wrong. Those herbs never fail. They never fail. You fail. Now, that's a big one. It's not the herb didn't work for you. It's you didn't work for the herb. So if you trace the origin of these herbs, they go back many, 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 many thousands of years. And here's the key point. You have to work for the herb. You have to prepare yourself for the herb to have the optimal effect. The people who wrote of these herbs, the people who publish on these herbs, not the scientists that are studying them today, but the herbalists that go back thousands of years that contributed to the folklore, if you will, of how these herbs work, meaning that if you take these herbs, you'll live forever. You'll live a long time. You'll be 125 years old, fathering children. These sorts of claims behind many of these herbs from all seven continents came out of ecosystems. They came out of jungles. They came out of fertility. They came out of lifestyle. And the people who used these and wrote down, whether it was hieroglyphics, whether it was Sanskrit, whether it was ancient Chinese, whether it was Aramaic, the claims they made were in response to taking these herbs in the context of those environments. When you take these herbs out of those environments, you're not even talking about the herb anymore. That's big. That's really big. Now, America's great. Of course it is. That's why we're here. America's great for extrapolating out of other cultures. If it's world known, Americans take it, and Americans bring the great synthesis, the diversity of opinion around, say, an herb, and they try to make it better. And sometimes we hit, and sometimes we miss. I always make that analogy to Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee studied the martial arts in China. He mastered Wing Chun, which was actually a martial art that originated with a woman, with a Chinese nun, to protect herself from bands of thieves, as the story goes, and it's a true story. I think it was about 900 A.D. And Bruce Lee started studying Wing Chun. And then when he came to America and he worked in the restaurant and then he got involved in Hollywood and the rest, you know. But in the early days, he found that he had to start to do that American thing, which was to take tradition and start to integrate it into the American way, meaning he brought in boxing, he brought in jiu-jitsu, he brought in wrestling, he brought in wing, he brought in many other martial arts, he brought in taekwondo, he merged it together and created Jeet Kune Do, the eclectic martial art, absorb what is useful. Now America tries to do this with herbalism, but the thing with the adaptogenic herbs that you have to be careful of is America, and partly out of expediency, is making a few mistakes. Now, one of those mistakes is classic. I want you to go to picture number 19. Go to picture number 19. So you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. You're in the show section, and there you go, picture 19. Now, there's a claim by a gentleman named Paul Stamets, very intelligent mycologist. He's got a tremendous knowledge of fungus, and he's making a cordyceps. It's a vegetarian capsule. It's a good product. The thing is, and this is my point, this is America doing what America does. It's taking cordyceps out of its habitat. This is not cordyceps grown in the habitat cordyceps was discovered in. Cordyceps grows in northern China. Cordyceps grows at very high altitudes. I'm going to show you a picture of cordyceps, but my point here is, as Americans, what we tend to do is we take traditions and we transplant them onto American soil, and because we have a lot of knowledge, we say, well, we can produce something that's very, very good. Now, the side note is cordyceps, because the ecosystem is disappearing, is becoming more rare, senesis. And on that basis, we have American companies. Stamets is one of them, taking all their knowledge and then saying, I'm going to grow this in America. So this isn't a criticism, but this is not wild cordyceps. This is a cordyceps, which is, well, we'll talk about its purpose later, but the point now is it's grown in America, in habitats that are controlled. And this is that age-old thing. Do we get it from the wild, or do we get it from the habitat that we influence? And my wisdom to you is go for the wild-crafted herb. Now go up and look at picture number, good, picture number 18, just next to the 19. 18. That's northern China. That's basically the Himalayas. And this is where cordyceps grows, wild. And what you're looking at, if you check another picture I put on the site, picture number 15. Cordyceps is fascinating. Some of you know this product as Premier Research Labs manufactures this under the name Adrenovin. Very high-quality product, Adrenovin. It's cordyceps, cordyceps sinensis. And there you have cordyceps. Cordyceps is a caterpillar that's parasitized by a fungus. That fungus grows in the feces of a bird that drops on to the caterpillar. Amazing. Now look at that picture, and then go to picture 14 next to it. And there's picture 14. That's cordyceps. Now, if you get that out of the wild, and then you dry it in the sun, and you get it out of the habitat it involved in, it's a whole other level. So granted, we may need to grow it in America, but if you want your bang for the buck, buy it. If you can get it, buy it wild. Now that's the competitor's edge. That's the athlete's edge. And we'll talk about cordyceps later. And we can talk about cordyceps now as a scientific article. I'm not going to yet. But up on the top, we have cordycepin. That's one of the components, ingredients in cordyceps that they studied, that they know it does a bunch of things that are good for you. But that's really a very tiny part of it. So, first concept. I'm going to talk about definitely cordyceps today. I'm going to talk about deer antler. I'm going to talk about Rishi. I'm probably not going to have time to get to ginseng. Next week, God willing, I'll do a show on the bees. And we're going to talk about royal jelly, honey, and propolis, but especially royal jelly, because that's an adaptogen. It's what they feed the queen bee that allows it to live so long relative to the drones and the workers. And it allows the queen to have an unlimited fertility. So as an adaptogen, royal jelly's dynamic. On the overall, who knows and understands these herbs? Nobody does. If you search the literature for mechanism of action, all you get, and you'll see this with the articles that I've posted today, all you get is, I'm a scientist with a bunch of other scientists, and we can tell you that in mice, rats, animals, people, we observe that this is what the herb does. It's adaptogenic. We observe it. We can duplicate it. Often with animals, it works. And that's as far as it goes. When it gets to mechanism of action, it's unclear. Mechanism of action is a big thing. If you can't get mechanism of action down, you really don't have the herb grasped. And this is the problem. This is why your medical doctor isn't going to turn around and say, well, I haven't read anything that I can trust yet. This is all speculative, even though for your energy and your libido and the rest of it, I prefer you to do Viagra and not Durang, or Viagra and not Cordyceps, or so on and so forth. This is why, because mechanism of action is not understood. In the scientific literature, in science, and in experiment, if some organic chemist hasn't figured out mechanism of action, and it really is a function of organic chemistry, not even biochemistry, it's physical chemistry, it's organic chemistry, and as far as an herb is concerned, it's beyond that, which is why it's so difficult. It's biophysical. These herbs, adaptogenic herbs, are biophysical, as in biophysics. They exceed our biochemical understanding. Now, I'm going to show you some pages today where the Chinese, of course, have very avidly studied these herbs, being progenitors of at least half the herbal contribution of the world, at least traditionally. They take the scientists, and their scientists break it down, good scientists. But in the end, the mechanisms are not understood. So you have to understand, especially if you're in the trenches, especially if you don't have money to waste, especially if you're still vulnerable to the opinions of others who really don't understand anything about this but herald themselves as medical gatekeepers, you have to understand where you're susceptible. You're susceptible because scientists, medical doctors, so on and so forth, are simply not going to function from clinical experience. They're simply going to say, I know because I scan the literature that these mechanisms are not understood, and therefore you're wasting your money, Mrs. Smith. Don't get the herb. Now, that viewpoint's myopic. It's short-sighted because lots of drugs are not understood. Mechanism of action in drugs are not understood. So let's just not single out herbs. Point is, if it works and it's safe, do it. And that's where you start. That's where we start with drugs, even if we don't understand the mechanism of action with pharmaceutical drugs. So just to give you some context there. So there we are. Picture number 15, picture number 14. Let's say you get a good wild cordyceps. And I'm not even getting into what cordyceps does yet. I can see this is one of those shows where I'm not going to finish, but we'll keep rocking. If you even had the wild cordyceps, the next issue becomes, in what form should you take it? Now, I'll give you a form to take it in that I think prevails over all other forms, or at least the top two forms. And no, a vegetable capsule is definitely not one of them. Go to picture number 31. Picture number 31. There's a guy there. His name is Henry C. Liu. He's a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. I put a picture of him. Picture number 33. There's Henry C. Liu in his herbal emporium with all those different herbs there. And Henry Liu, in this book, picture number 31 and picture number 32, talks about cordyceps and how it should be taken. You know what they do with cordyceps? They take cordyceps, and if you look at, you got to be picture friendly today, picture number 20, in that duck soup is cordyceps. Now, really, cordyceps is stuffed into the belly of a duck when they cook the duck. They slow roast the duck, and they stuff those things inside the duck. And the heat breaks them down, doesn't destroy them. What they should do is macerate them after that. But cordyceps, and Henry Liu in that book I just showed you has a recipe for it. And you have to understand something. When you spend money on an adaptogen, the question becomes, one, is it wild? Number two, can you get it in your body? And understand this, herbs, vegetable capsules, powders are hard to digest. What's kind of common sense? You just don't take a stalk of turmeric and chew it. You don't take a piece of garlic and just chew it. You can see that until you emulsify it, liquefy it, break it down, macerate it, take it apart, mush it until the fiber, and who's got time and who's going to chew it all day long? Let alone the taste, but the time. Gets stuck between your teeth, maybe even breaks your tooth. This whole process whereby you consider an herb, you have to include the assimilation. How do you digest it and how do you assimilate it? You think a powder is easy to do. A tablet, of course, is garbage. In a vegetable capsule, you still have issues. Can you swallow the number of capsules it takes? And we're going to talk about dose in a moment. But can you swallow the number of capsules it takes to get the desired effect? If you're 6 feet, 180 pounds, and you're taking cordyceps, you're taking ginseng, you're taking reishi, you're taking soma, you're taking the deer antler, the deer antler base, not the spread, not the velvet, but the base itself, you might need a dose that would mean you can't digest the dose you need. And on that basis, you have to consider how that herb is taken. Take it in food cooked. That's what the Chinese do. Number two, you take it. And this is going to bring us to a key point here. When you can get an herb as a tincture, you take it as a tincture. Herbs in an alcohol tincture is the way to go. You will get a bang for your buck like nothing else. Now, if it's a garbage herb, you won't. So you have to understand you're balancing issues here. But lots of people are going to have trouble swallowing 8, 10, 14, 16, 20, 50, 80 capsules a day. What you can get out of a tincture far exceeds an herb. Why? Well, look at picture number 21. There's a wild cordyceps. You see the word private reserve? Cordyceps that's wild is rare. It's difficult. It's expensive. It's a bunch of things. But lots of you can afford that. And my point to you is, we're going to take, so just so you get a sense of it, we're going to take the picture of cordyceps. So we're going to take picture 14. What are we going to do? We're going to soak it in alcohol. Back in the old days, New York's Chinatown, Los Angeles Chinatown, San Francisco Chinatown, if you have an honest herbalist, you got to find one who actually knows where they're buying their herbs, and you got to find one of those too. Of course, all this has to be fun to you. So you want an extra 15 or 20 years of your life. This has to turn into fun. If it's not fun, forget it. If health isn't fun, forget it. If healing's not fun, forget it. That's all part of right attitude. But if you could find an herbalist worth his salt, the herbalist will give you the raw herb because the raw herb is cheap. Cheaper. The manufacturer takes their herb and processes it into a vegetable capsule. They process it into a tincture. But if you can get the raw herb, then the herbalist will tell you what to do with it. They'll tell you how to make your own tincture. And basically, a tincture is the raw herb taken and soaked in alcohol, sometimes vinegar. It's fermented. It's kind of rotted out and broken down. And then you can pulverize it. You macerate it. You break it down. And the fiber of the herb, I mean, look at that thing. That's a caterpillar. That's a caterpillar in rigor mortis with a fungus growing off the top of his head. This is picture number 14. If you're new to the show, this is Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. We're pioneering more concepts. I've got two spaces left for the class tomorrow. We're going to do a class on exercise. All the hard-hitting stuff compiled, in my case at least, for over 2.5 decades of putting good practical stuff to use. We're going to do a Jeet Kune Do on exercise. We're going to bring together the best sorts of perspectives that I think really work. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Use that number. I have two spaces left for tomorrow's class. That'll make it completely full, and we'll knock it out in about 7 hours, hour for lunch. I've done two of these classes already. Very satisfied. They're on the money. I bring it up now. Why? Well, one thing you do once you learn how to do it is before your workout, you use the right dose with the right product, with the right assimilative capacities of an adaptogenic herb. That's what you do. And you know what you get? A much better workout. Athletes and adaptogenic herbs go together. Adaptogenic herbs and radio shows go together. I do them all the time for my shows. Public speaking. Negotiations. You got to sit down across a person for a tough negotiation. Make sure you use the herbs. Everyone should do this. But then again, you've got to know the inside track so the herb will work for you. And if it doesn't, you didn't work for the herb. And this is my point. These herbs don't miss. You miss. Different concept. Different way to think about it. I'm sure you've tried them. I'm sure you've said, even with the best, you do a product as worthy as, say, Premier Research Labs. You do their ginseng, or you do their cordyceps, their adrenovin. I know for a fact lots of people will say that didn't work for me. I didn't really feel it. I don't know if it's doing me any good. And you know what that means? You didn't work for the herb. You weren't ready. Your body was not trained sufficiently to feel it. This is why these herbs are so fantastic for athletes. This is why these herbs are so fantastic for radio shows. This is why these herbs are so fantastic in negotiations. Because in each of those categories, you're looking for the competitive edge. You know, as an athlete, what the competitive edge is. I mean, right? 1/100 of a second costs you an Olympic gold medal. So athletes, speakers, people who are under the gun, they feel these little differences in the way they perform. And a little goes a long way when you're sensitive to it. So we're going to take these herbs. We're going to take cordyceps. We're going to soak it in alcohol. We're going to mush it up. We're going to break it down. We're going to turn it into goo. Then we're going to evaporate the liquid. The alcohol evaporates quickly. Alcohol-water mixture. And then we're going to do it again and again. And finally, what we're left with is goo. Everything's broken down. Now go put that into a bottle. And picture number 21, there you've got it. That's wild cordyceps. That's a tincture of wild cordyceps. Now when you take 4 to 5 dropperfuls of that, that's like taking 50 capsules. You're taking many times. And do you need 50 capsules? Well, here's the thing. I don't know if we're going to have time today. Actually, I'm going to take the time to do this. Watch this. Let's go up to click to view full article on assorted herbs, way up at the top. Click to view article on assorted herbs. Now, there's page 1, and it says antler or deer horn. That's deer antler. The second one, so go to the next page, page 2 of 4, cordyceps, dong kong. Tung Chung, not sure, pardon my Chinese. Cordyceps sinensis. Now, keep scrolling down on that page. You can do this. Recommended dosage. I want to teach you something about this. Recommended dosage. Now, this is from a wonderful book, The Handbook of Chinese Herbs. It's written by Jung is the last name, Y-U-N-G. Had this book for years. Handbook of Chinese Herbs. Lists all the herbs, category. It's a great book. It's a great layman's book. It's a very, very concise compendium. Recommended dosage, 6 to 15 grams. Now, I want you to get this. This is important. Because if you can't figure this out, you're not going to get the effect. And this is what they don't tell you. First of all, prescription. May be used singly or combined with other herbs, generally cooked with duck to increase its virtue. I mean, look at that. Listen to that sentence. Combined with other herbs, generally cooked with duck to increase its virtue. Virtue. They didn't say pharmacological benefits. They didn't say scientific effects. They didn't say whatever. They said virtue. I want you to get that because we started the show out talking about the context in which you should understand these herbs. These herbs grow in Edens of paradise. And you're asking the herb to bestow virtue upon you. And if you do, you will be virtued. You will be graced with the virtue of the herb. Unbelievable. You say, what an out-of-context word. Cook it with a duck to increase its virtue. That's exactly how you have to look at it. Because if the herb does not bestow its virtue upon you, it's your problem. That's what you call respecting nature. This is the problem when we extrapolate out and we start pulling and taking pieces of the herb out that we can pharmacologically define, and then we concentrate those pieces, beta glucans, in when we study the mushrooms like reishi and maitake or cordyceps too, but no, that doesn't have beta glucans, Coriolis. When we study reishi, say, and we isolate the beta-glucan content of reishi, and we know that that stimulates the macrophage to talk to the NK cell, so on and so forth, and you've got a higher immunological response, and so it's an anti-cancer, anti-tumor, and you've got all sorts of scientific studies to back that. Bottom line is, where's the virtue? If you don't respect the virtue of nature, your mind will be led astray. That's a big one. At any rate, swinging on back, what I asked you to understand is recommended dosage, 6 to 15 grams. 6 to 15 grams means, now just go back to the picture. Just go back to the picture of cordyceps. 6 to 15 grams of the raw herb. That's the point. 6 to 15 grams of the raw herb. Now, if you have 15 grams of the raw herb and that herb is dried out into a powder, that's a very different amount. In other words, 4 grams, which is 8 capsules of the dried herb, may well be the equivalent of 15 raw grams. You've got to get the translation. The tincture, one dropperful of the tincture, is even more concentrated than the vegetable capsule, which is more concentrated than the raw herb. And you've got to get these conversions down. And I don't want to get everyone lost today, okay, harping on this, but that's the bottom line. You've got to actually do conversions. But what we're going to leave you with is that when you have the raw herb, that's less concentrated than the vegetable powdered capsule, which is less concentrated than the tincture. You know what that means? That means if you take something as easy, assimilable, innocuous, inconspicuous as 4 to 5 dropperfuls of a tincture, that can be as much as 50 to 60 capsules. And that's the point. You can, without annoying your stomach, your intestinal tract, without irritating the intestinal villi, take a real bolt of the herb. That's big. That's really big. And that is why, sort of like the landmark, the icon of herbalism, is to take the herb and put it in a tincture. because it's most assimilable. Now, that's big. That's big when you're comparing taking 20, 30 capsules to get a bolt of something. If you're a six-foot athlete with a balanced immune system, a balanced nervous system, often you're going to have to go up to what otherwise is 25, 30 capsules to even get the effect. And when you compare that, when you're mixing it with other herbs for different things, you're talking about taking too many capsules. Now, if you're a tiny woman with a small throat, or an older person, or you're overweight and your esophagus is all twisted, and your intestinal tract is in the wrong position, these are the people, and you're in the audience now, and you're saying, yeah, that's me. You swallow the herbs, you get heartburn. You take the herbs, you get esophageal spasms. You take the herbs, you get reflux. They, you burn all these different things. The herbs go down, the herbs come back up. They get caught in your throat. All this stuff, it doesn't happen with a tincture. Almost too much time on that concept, but let's keep going. So, back to the point. Herbs cultivated wild, herbs that are more assimilable, herbs that are studied by science, but in the end, the herb has to be understood in the context, okay, of the experiment of many, many hundreds of years. The concept that you don't, the herb isn't so much working for you as you're working to extract the benefit of the herb. Summary of concepts. The adaptogenic herbs, for what? I'll break it down for you like this. The adaptogenic herbs, we're going to study four today. Cordyceps is one. Reishi is two. Deer antlers, three. Ginseng is four. Now, there's more, but we're going to just look at those. Ginseng, you take for sharpness of mind. Reishi, especially red reishi, you take for wisdom. Deer antler, you take for your bones. And cordyceps, you take for adrenal function. And royal jelly, we'll get to next week, you take for sexual function. Now, each of these herbs overlaps into the other herb. But if you want my vote using these things for a long time, this is how I see it. Because in the end, adaptogenic herbs are adaptogenic herbs, and what you're left with as the consumer is a lot of confusion about, well, they all do a lot. I'll just take a few capsules of each. It doesn't work that way. The functionality of these herbs is more along the lines of what I just said. When you take a lot of red reishi, so go to picture number 12. Look at that. Can you imagine? Look at picture number 12. Can you just imagine running into that in the forest? Look at that thing. I'd kiss it too. That's a mushroom that grows wild in the forest. God is great. That's what they ought to have written on that mushroom. Look at that. And then there's parasitized caterpillars that we call cordyceps. I mean, if that doesn't speak truth to you, I don't know what to say. Now take that, soak it, break it down, macerate it, and put it into a tincture. That's my advice. Now, point. That will give you wisdom. That herb is there for wisdom. You take a tincture, two, three, four. You got to find your dose. Talk about dose in 1 second. You got to find your dose of red reishi. It will give you wisdom. You will have a better intimacy with whom you want to have intimacy with. And I don't mean sexual intimacy. I mean heartfelt, heart-to-heart intimacy. If you have a rough spot, a rough negotiation, a complicated statement, something that's going to test the limits of your wisdom to remain cool, calm, collected, and in tune with God, take that herb. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to my website. This is show 171. That's 3 years of pounding it out every single week. What a joy for me. Get the archives. Listen to the shows. I have lots of fellow practitioners that say each show is a seminar in itself, and I agree with them. You, the public, just keep listening to the show. It'll all sink in. Trust yourself there. Red Rishi for wisdom. Deer Antler. Let's go to Deer Antler. Go to picture number 23. Picture number 23. Do you see the fuzz on that deer? That's called Deer Antler Velvet. It's got insulin growth factor 1 in it. Insulin growth factor 1 is produced in the liver under the cue of the growth hormone coming out of the pituitary. Right, everybody's into GH, growth hormone, synthetic growth hormone. Bad. Do not do that garbage. But growth hormone stimulates the production of insulin growth factor 1 out of the liver, and then that has many, many values in the body. Again, we're into that ambiguity. It's good. Take it. Good. Cordyceps, good. Ginseng, good. And if you read the literature, everything does everything. You want superior athletic performance. You want to feel your bones get warm. You want to feel your tendons get soft. You want to feel like you're in the zone. You want to feel limber, springy. You want to feel like you stretched your tendons out and you feel like you were 20 years old again. Take a good deer antler. I'm partial, obviously, to the tincture. But take it any way you can get it and look for it interfacing with your bone. Rishi gives you wisdom. I would not take Rishi before a boxing match. I wouldn't take it when I wanted to run up a hill. I'd want to take Rishi when I want to sit back and do a radio show. I'd want to take Rishi when I want to have an alert mind. I want to take Rishi when I want to have a difficult negotiation. I wouldn't take it running up a hill. I wouldn't take it before a workout. I would take Deer Antler. And what is Deer Antler Legion for today in America? And this is the good part of it. Deer Antler does many things, but how's it translating in America today? Well, you heard about it. The Deer Antler Velvet Spray. I'm certainly not going to endorse anybody's spray. You either take Teagarden's tincture or you take Premier Research Labs capsule. And you look for that effect. And that effect, it should make your teeth warm. Your teeth have to get warm. Your bones have to get warm. Deer Antler affects the bone. Goes to your bone. It is pharmacologically active when it hits your bone. Rishi does not hit your bone. Rishi hits your heart. Ginseng will hit your mind. It'll make your memory sharp. It will make your head clear. The words will come to you faster. Your recall will be better. Ginseng is for the head. Rishi is for the heart. Deer Antler is for the bone. There's more science in what I just said than every pharmacological study that will ever be done on these herbs. And that is the arrogance of us if we think that is not the case. If we think science will understand this more fully than nature and experience of the wild herb in nature, forget it. You take that deer, you love that deer, you scrape that velvet off that deer, you eat that, and you got it down. Now, Deer Antler Velvet is a little different than Picture 24. Picture 23 is not picture 24. Look at picture 24. By the way, that's a cute little deer. If it takes those horns and jabs them into you, it will kill you. You go up to places like Idaho, so on and so forth, the deer, they are so abundant. I mean, they're everywhere. Don't get hit by one of those things. And definitely not a moose, in case too many of you have been, you know, watching Bowwinkle. People get killed every year in these places because they think moose are friendly. Moose cause. A moose and a hippopotamus. You know what they have in common? In North America, moose kills more people each year than any other animal. No, it's not mountain lions or snakes. It's moose. Because everybody thinks a moose is Bowwinkle. Hippopotamuses are as dangerous as mooses. That deer, those horns, dangerous. A lot of power. Those horns will fall off eventually. Take those horns and do what? Macerate them. Grind them to powder, mix them into alcohol, macerate them more, mush them up, and make what? A tincture. So we have Deer Antler Velvet, that's picture 23, and then the Deer Antler Base, that's picture 24. I put up on the top of the show today, okay, deer antler base is a traditional Chinese medicine. Just to take a second to look at this. There is never enough time. Just to take a second. Peer-reviewed article on deer antler base. Just scroll down there. Deer antler base. So you have to understand, this is not deer antler velvet. Velvet is the fuzz. Base is the hard part. Fuzz is loaded with IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1. And I told you what that's about. Either way, you feel it in your bone. Bone stimulates bone. What a concept. But deer antler, whether it's velvet or the base, does lots of things. This is an article backing up the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, the base. Just scroll down, look at what I underlined. Although the mechanism of action is still not clear. They will be writing that the mechanism of action is not clear in 1,000 years. You're not going to get it. Keep scrolling. Since deer antler base is produced naturally, this is on page 2. Since deer antler base is produced naturally by deer without any pain every year, it can be obtained at a relatively low cost. You know what that means? It means some of these gifts are going to keep coming. And some of these gifts, like wild cordyceps, I hope I'm wrong, may be extinct. So when the Americans are growing these things up in the state of Washington, like Stamets or wherever he grows, or Oregon, so on and so forth, in a sense, they have the right idea. In another sense, they're going to miss by 1,000 miles. Now, it's well-intentioned, but you have to understand the difference when you're doing a purchase. This is why I would support, you know, Premier Research Labs. They're going to bring the wild stuff in. And Dragon Herbs Tea Gardens, he brings the wild stuff in. You want the wild stuff. I'm partial to tinctures. But the point is, get the effect. Deer antler base is very hard and not easily crushed. Therefore, it is difficult to extract and separate. As a result, much less has been devoted to the use of deer antler base than to velvet antler. You see? However, the use of deer antler base as a folk remedy has a long history and has achieved very... Deer antler base is knockout. But it's not as easy. You have to prepare it. You have to decoct it. You've got to crush it. You've got to marinate it. You've got to use it. And so in the translation into modern life, we tend not to do these things. So I ask you where the smart money is. Keep on scrolling down. Those pictures of the little deers there. Local and traditional uses. Tonifies the kidney, invigorates the spleen, strengthens the bone and muscles, promotes blood flow. Tonify the kidney, nourishes the yin. These things may be weak in their meaning for you, and I can't get into these terms today. But, you see, strengthen the bone and muscle, promote blood flow. You will feel, if the stuff is the real stuff, heat in your bones. And that's what you want as an athlete. Enough with this. Read that article. Look at all the periodicals behind it. It's a fantastic article on deer antler. I can't get into the one on cordycepin, but that's another one where science will back up the claim completely. Now, dose. Let's get to dose of these herbs. How much do you take? Okay? First of all, number one, gradually you go. But do not do what most people do. It's ridiculous. They read on the label... 2 capsules, recommended dosage, 2 capsules twice a day. You have to understand, this is not a therapeutic dose. Do not take 2 capsules and end up stating, I took the herb and I didn't feel anything. You have to keep going. These herbs do not have toxic side effects. These herbs that I'm talking about. Cordyceps, reishi, deer antler, sorry. For the most part, there's always exceptions. You can get hurt using a screwdriver. You can get hurt driving a car. You can get hurt crossing the street. A bee can sting you and you can have an anaphylactic reaction. Nothing is fail and foolproof. And of course, consult your medical doctor to get medical consent before you use these things. As always. But that aside, after everyone in the world allows you to enjoy these wonderful virtues, increase dose. to the point where you feel it. Once you get up to what an herbalist, what the person that sold it to you, what the books, and I taught you a little bit today about how to understand the books. Remember, the raw herb is the least, well, let me put it to you this way. The tincture is the most concentrated. The capsule is less concentrated. And the raw herb is the least concentrated. So we take the raw herb and we dry it and put it into a powder, and that's the capsule. Or we take the raw herb, mix it with alcohol, macerate it, and make the tincture. The tincture is the most concentrated. You learn to increase dose until you feel it. Now remember, if you hate your life, if you don't sleep, if you eat like garbage, if you are extremely exhausted, if you have a disease, if the fundamentals of your health are not being satisfied, you may well find yourself in a position where the herb doesn't work. Meaning you didn't work for the herb, number one. Number two, these are requirements. Are your meridians open? Do you have a good balance between sympathetic and autonomic flow, sympathetic and parasympathetic flow? If you can't relax, these herbs will have reverse effects. If you are given to massive anxiety, I've seen this so many times, even small dosages of these herbs, the body, to a concentration of power, even in your best interest, will have a reaction that will give you a sense of panic. So you can read about the herb. You can have the herb recommended to you. You can do a dose that's very reasonable, and you can have a cockamamie reaction. You can have a backward reaction. Generally, I see it cause people anxiety, or I see people get very, 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 very relaxed to the point where they can't stand up. So you have to be balanced to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system when you take these to have the optimal effect. If you aren't, then what? Then you aren't working for the herb. If you're not sleeping at all, then you're not working for the herb. If you're very sick, the herb can give you too much spark when you don't have any strength in the cylinder. So think of a car with a cylinder and a spark and gasoline. The herb, deer antler, is like a spark. Ginseng is like a spark. If you have too much of a spark and the cylinder can't hold the combustion, then the cylinder cracks and you don't feel good. So dosing the herb has to be done gradually. Dosing the herb has to be to your tolerance. Dosing the herb has to be from a wild source. Dosing the herb has to be from a highly assimilable source. Dosing the herb has to be with respect to your fundamental health. Dosing the herb has to be with respect to you may need to continually increase it until you feel it. Dosing the herb metaphorically means, do you have strength or do you have stability in your cylinder so you can handle the combustion once the spark is delivered? Forget about finding the mechanism of action. It doesn't really work that way. Now, herbs you can develop tolerance to. Here's another little parameter. If you're just doing ginseng, you should switch them off. Get to know cordyceps. Get to know ginseng. Get to know red reishi. Get to know deer antler. Get to know deer antler velvet. Vary them. Feel them. Why? There's something in pharmacology called tachyphylaxis. T-A-C-H-Y-P-H-Y-L-A-X-I-S. Tachyphylaxis. Tachyphylaxis means that you will get used to anything. You'll get used to anything, and that's why you have to switch off the dope. Why? Well, we've got enough time. Picture number 35. Look at picture number 35. That's a nerve meeting a receptor site. And what happens is that these herbs affect neural transmission. In other words, they control or affect the release at the end of a nerve. They affect what goes on in the synapse. If you look at the synaptic gap there, if you look at the word receptor site, this is picture 35. And your body, in response to herbs, just like pharmaceutical drugs, just like recreational drugs, will modulate that space in a way where the deer antler that used to work doesn't work. And what does everyone say, right? You've said it, well, I took it and it worked for a while and then it didn't work. Of course. That's why you have to vary dose. That's why you have to vary time. That's why you have to vary herb. That's why you have to look at the fundamentals of your health. That's why you have to have right perspective. That's why you have to have the wild crafted herb. That's why you have to know who you're buying from. That's why you have to have education. Speaking of which, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007, 7 straight hours on exercise tomorrow. We're going to talk about the use of adaptogenic herbs as it relates to exercise because they're fantastic for exercise. Their history is legion. Martial artists, monks, Taoist monks, people that grew up in caves. Do you realize doctors in these traditions are taken as children? And the parents gladly send their children to these institutes in the wilderness. And these kids are trained. Trained in nature to find the herbs, to prepare the herbs, to use the herbs in conjunction with the Qigong, the Tai Chi, the yoga. Look up Master Ho. Look up Hong Ni. His sons who are not trained in the mountains but who own Yosan, the acupuncture school in Santa Monica. Understand there are great traditions that you have to benefit from that are going to give you much more of an understanding of these herbs than every single scientific article to the end of time. And that's what you call respect for God. Bare bottom, we don't have the technologies to get these things down fully. But it's fun to isolate. It's fun to read literature. It's fun to read periodicals. It's fun to educate your head, but it's your soul that these herbs are talking to. Reishi gets to the heart. Ginseng gets to the mind. Deer antler gets to the bone and the tendon. It's fun. It's a joy. It's a virtue bestowed to your soul. And if you break the soul down into neurological components, we call that chakras. Are you talking to the heart? Are you talking to the will? Are you talking to your head? Are you talking to your root? You can feel herbs. You can feel foods. And you can feel them better in conjunction with nature. And if you're not feeling them, rest assured, remember on this day, I'm saying to you, you didn't work for the herb. We'll see you next week. This is Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Let's get a few good students for tomorrow. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.